Holy Spirit, without you, we make a mess. So I'm asking for your Holy Spirit right now to rule and reign in this mouth, rule and reign in my heart, and have your way with this mouth for your glory. In Jesus' name. I had one word this morning, because God always does his thing the way he wants with me, and it's not always the way that I would like. So I'm giving you a heads up. But I heard loud and clear, resurrection. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 immediately came into my mind. So that's where we're going. And the verse that has really jumped out at me, because sometimes, you know, you can read the word, but you're wondering where he wants you to go. Well, it's 1 Corinthians 15:53. 1 Corinthians 15:53. Sometimes, you know, when God tries to awaken us to what he wants and how he wants things done, he has different ways of permeating our hearts. It's not always the same. And what he does is he presses us to, let's say, understand a little deeper what he's trying to make us and what he's trying to fulfill through us. Because he is trying to make something out of us, in case you forgot. He is trying to change us. But verse 53 says, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." Now, if you don't have a circle around the word must, then you kind of lose the impact of that particular verse. Must is not something that you can do if you are, let's say, haphazard about your life. Must is like, okay, you decide if you want to fast for a few days, but eventually you're going to have to eat again, because this body is living in the earth. And if you don't put any food in, you're going to pay a price. You must put food in, right? Well, this word must is important because a lot of people think they can just keep on going with their Christianity. I guess the expression would be half-baked. And half-baked is not good enough. He's called you for a reason, and for a reason that he alone may know. It's not up to you to figure it all out. It's up to you to trust him to do something with it. And if you listen to last Tuesday night's testimonies, it was one after another, after another, after another. Every single one was different. Every single one was for a purpose. And the difficulties were, every single one were tailor-made for you. And the brain says, why do I need to put on imperishable and immortality? Why do I need to do that? Well, generation upon generation upon generation has been going on. And that word about Joshua came to me in 1984. I had a snap vision when I was in South Carolina. And that same scripture came to me when I was at PTL. That's when I was really, really struggling with, what do you want from me now, Lord? I hadn't worked for 3 years. I had gotten a few jobs here and there. And I was pushing to obey the Holy Spirit. I was with my wife's cousin. He had just been born again. He was planning to marry a young lady who had just had a little baby that was not his. And he was about to give up his life so that a baby could come to life. He did marry the young lady. He got to know the Lord in a deeper way. He had two more children with her, and they are all serving the Lord to this day. They're very precious to my heart. But that scripture was very important because the promise was that I would definitely walk into the water. And it was at flood stage. And I would walk into the water, and the word that was most important was that it would never go above my thighs. The water would never hit my groin. That doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the current. It doesn't mean that the water's not going to be uncomfortable and try to push you over. It doesn't mean that you're going to be comfortable standing there. What it does mean is that you're going to have a lot of pressure trying to get your feet in a different place. Because the purpose of the flood is to move your feet where God has planted those feet. And your word firmly planted fit right in. So we're talking about me today seeing what God did in those years. He took me from one level of pressure to another, to another, to another. For his glory and not for necessarily for mine. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? And I'm going to try to exclude our young man here because he's just not capable of going back that far. But most of you here can go back 25 years. And I just want you to look back where you were or what you were doing 25 years ago. As soon as you get a picture in your brain, lift up one hand to let me know that you've got a picture. 25 years. Okay. Very good. Keep your eyes closed. Say, for the perishable, must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal. With immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The death or the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is in the law. That's where you lived 25 years ago. But today it's different. Today you have chosen to put on immortality. You have chosen to let the old mortal man be swallowed up by your spirit man. And your spirit man is the part of you that's eternal. Now that you can relate to, my friend. Because your spirit man is the part of you that is like God, that is made in his image,
and that will live for eternity. And so many are so focused on what's falling apart, or what's not going right with them, or what's not functioning according to the pattern that they have perceived should be. And guess who's having a party with you? Close your eyes one more time. Say, that's why I'm here. I'm here to awaken in me the eternal parts of me. That which will live forever and ever and ever. And that's my spirit being, which is immortal. It will not die. But today, it's putting on resurrection. And it's rising higher than I've ever been before. With grace to go higher yet. Hallelujah. I kept saying, God, what is it that you want this morning? What are you trying to make me see? And he says, it's going to come out of your mouth. You know, when I was 1985, I'm 45 years old. I'm supposed to be in a happy space. Haven't worked for 3 years. But all hell was breaking loose. God had sold the company. He had shown me mighty miracles. I felt very much like the Israelites after they got out of Egypt. You know, I mean, Pharaoh had been swallowed up. He'd been buried alive. And all the things that were impossible were becoming possible. Both my parents, who had been alcoholics for years, had been transformed and been set free. You know, God had done some incredible things. The Holy Spirit was in my life. The life of Christ was blossoming. I mean, it was wonderful. But my flesh was having a major issue. Because here I was being told by God that I'm going to go work in a non-Catholic church, which was unheard of for this guy. Okay? And that I was going to do this under the anointing of the Holy One of Israel. So it's December 1985. Excuse me, 84. Started in February 85. So I made a mistake. Bottom line. I come back from this trip and I've got this word, Joshua, chapter 3 and 4. And God says, see why I couldn't know before? Because I didn't have the scriptures. I haven't thought about that scripture for years. But I remember the vision of me standing in that water, and I can remember what the turbulence was like because I had felt it in my legs. Yeah. So I'm sitting down in Gino's office. It's about 2 weeks before Christmas, and I'm just back from this trip, and I've had this incredible word. The day before we left, we were supposed to leave on Friday night, but we decided, Bobby and I were going to stay one more extra day. Okay, that's Bobby Reno, you know who that is. Yeah. Anyway, I said, Bobby, I don't know why, but I says, I have this wonderful idea that I think we're supposed to stay one more night, so if it's okay with you, is it our... Oh, yeah, sure, he says, you're the driver. And he had never been out of the state. So we stayed. The next morning, there was a restaurant on the property, and we noticed a sign as we were leaving to go and check out that there was a breakfast for men happening that morning at that time. Talk about a Holy Ghost setup. Now, there's people there from all over the nation. And so we acquired two tickets, which was talk about last minute. And it was just right. You know, Holy Ghost is on time. And so they had these big, large, round tables, and they told us to sit, and obviously we sat. And I am sick like a dog. I mean, literally so sick that even a sip of coffee makes me run back to the bathroom. And now, obviously, those of you who know about Southern cooking, they had an incredible breakfast. And in my experience, I'm sitting down, and there were 8 men. There were no ladies. It was a men's breakfast. And 2 or 3 of the guys left, and I'm sitting there with my cousin. And this man says, and if I remember right, he's from California, the first one. And he gave me a word about God was going to use me to change circumstances in people's lives. And I was to obey the Lord in spite of my head. Something to that degree. So Bobby looked at me and he says, "Whoa, this is awesome." And guess where I went? Directly to the bathroom. Emptied out my body one more time. Sat back down, and now another gentleman, as I sit, says to me, "I have a word for you, young man," and he's from Texas. I didn't feel young. I felt like I was death warmed over. I didn't feel immortality at all. I felt everything mortal, everything dying. And he gave me a confirming word along the same lines that I was going to be working at blah, 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 and this was going to be God's plan and God's ministry, etc., etc., and I had been training, and I knew, and he just literally floored my cousin. He didn't floor me because I was more used to it, but he was just coming into the kingdom, and he wasn't aware of the word of knowledge and the word of, you know, of prophecy, etc., etc. And now one guy had never been to the table, comes in and sits down, and as he comes to sit, "Oh," he says, "I have a word for you, young man." And I don't remember what it was, but I'm confirming the same thing, basically. And off I went back to the bathroom and never ate breakfast, because when they brought the food out, it made it 3 times worse. I didn't eat, I think, for about 3 days. I couldn't. Nothing was actually capable of going down. And every time I tried, it would come right back up. When I got to Gino's office, which was about 2 weeks or a week and a half from that point, I was seeing him regularly because I had been training and I was studying under Roby. And that had been going on for 3 years. I sat down, and as I sat, I said, "How are you?" And he said, "I'm well." He says, "How was your trip?" Because he knew about my trip. And out of my mouth said, "I'm working here. I know it." And I mean, that was the furthest thing from my brain, because I was never going to say that, even though he knew I had been down there. And he says, "Oh, that's wonderful news. Thank you, Lord." And so I'm like, "Oh my God." So he says, "Yeah," he says, I confirmed that." He says, "About May, right?" And I said, "No, February." He said, "Kim, we can't start in February." He says, "It's not making any sense." I said, "Well, it doesn't make any sense for May either." So I said, "I just don't know why, but it's got to be February." So he says, "Well, maybe we can do it." He says, "Like maybe the beginning of April." And I said, "Pastor, I love you, but no way. It's got to be February." He said, "What's wrong with February?" I said, "Well, what's wrong with it?" And he looks at me and he says, "You're serious, aren't you?" I says, "Yes, I am. I really believe it's got to be February." And he starts smiling and he opens his desk drawer and he says, "By the way, I've already got the phone number." And he had it written down. And he gave it to me and slid it across the desk. And he said, "Here it is." He says, "I was on the phone with Worcester. It took me quite a while," he says, "to get this number. But it's ours now and it'll be available for February. 781-7777.
and the tears rolled up my eyes. In February, I was downstairs getting the room ready. And the first thing I needed to do was to take off all the hardware in the room, you know, switch plates and so on, and it needed to be painted, etc. It was dirty, and this kid doesn't like stuff that's not clean, so obviously it's going to get a freshing. I pulled off everything that was removable, and to my surprise, on the, if you walked in on the right-hand side top corner of the room, way up on the top, is a metal plate that was painted the same color as the wall, so you couldn't see it. I pulled off the four screws that held that plate there, and I realized that that's where every phone line came in from the building, from the outside of the building, and I didn't know. So I ran upstairs, and I said, Gino, do you have a minute? He says, yeah. I says, did you look at the schematics of the, you know, building when you gave me this room for an office? He said, no. I said, then you need to come downstairs and you need to see what God has done. I mean, there's 39 rooms at Grace Church of Christ. So out of 39 rooms, the one he gave me was where all the phones came into the building. And whenever he saw the phone lines coming in the box, the tears rolled up in his eyes, and we began to rejoice and give thanks because we knew that God was doing something. But I'm not going to tell you it was easy. I would be lying to you if I would tell you that it was comfortable. But every step of the way, when God gave confirmation upon confirmation, immortality was coming to life. Resurrection power was a reality. Because Gino had one saying that he used to constantly try to pound into us. Live your tomorrows today. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask you now. Are you willing to live your tomorrows today? Are you willing to lay aside your plan for what you think is going on in your life and let him have his plan and have those tomorrows that he's prepared and have on his schedule not be a hindrance to your cotton-picking brain? And I mean that. Your brain's in the way. Your brain is carnal and it's mortal. And it's temporary. But your spirit man is eternal. And it's about time to switch gears and get out of your brain and get into the spirit. Walk in the spirit and you will see Jesus. Walk by the Holy Spirit and you will taste the glory of tomorrow. Today. And yes, there'll be a price to pay. How many are willing to live your tomorrows today? Put your hands up if you mean it. Would you stand, please? I want you to declare to me that death will not rule you. And the dying part of you is up here. It's up on top of this cotton picking set of shoulders you got, and it's trying to bring you down. So put one hand on your brain. Say, Lord Jesus, this is not going to rule.
This is not going to rule.
Because it's mortal.
Because it's mortal.
It's temporary.
It's temporary.
And it's got loads of plans.
And it's got loads of plans.
And it's not God.
And it's not God.
But
I can put on
immortality,
which comes from down here.
So put your hand on your tummy. Say, the eternal part of me,
the
spirit man,
is loaded with immortality.
And it is full of God's plan.
And it's going to put on today.
It's plans for me.
Holy Ghost plans.
Eternal plans.
Resurrection plans.
Just for me.
I will put on immortality now.
Because I want to live for you, Lord.
My My selfish plans,
can be dumped.
And let God's plan.
Rise to the surface.
Because I will live.
Full of immortality.
Full of
resurrection power. And the perishable
is going away.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I give you praise, Lord. That I can taste the goodness of the Lord.
In the land of the living.
Right now. Not next week, right now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a clap offering.